our cares away. All the bands are here to bring good cheer your way. It's make-believe ballroom time and free to everyone. It's no time to fret, your dial is set for fun. Just close your eyes and visualize in your solitude. Your favorite bands are on the stands and Mr. Miller puts you in the mood. It's make-believe ballroom time, the hour of sweet romance. Here's your make-believe ballroom. Come on, children, let's dance, let's dance.
Hello, world. I'm Jeff Bressler, turning on the lights of the make-believe ballroom and welcoming you into my crystal studio for another program of classic big band hits from the 1930s and 40s. Please get ready as I play for you some amazing big band, jazz, swing, blues, and boogie-woogie favorites. Folks, you're listening to the Make-Believe Ballroom, broadcasting almost continuously since 1935. Hi, friends, and thanks for joining me in the Crystal Studio today for another show featuring 78 RPM recordings, along with fascinating stories of legendary band leaders, musicians, composers, and vocalists. Well, at least I think they're fascinating, but I'll leave that up to you. Why don't we start with one of those fascinating stories? Why did I even say that? There was an interesting collaboration that took place between 1935 and 38, when an orchestra was formed by lyricist Eddie DeLange. Eddie started the band and then quickly realized he needed help with arranging, so he turned to composer and arranger Will Hudson, and what Eddie did was offer him a full partnership in the orchestra in return for his arrangement services. And that partnership and the way it was structured resulted in great popularity for the duo. They recorded more than 50 records, and they appeared at over 200 ball dates in addition to hotel appearances. So let's play a couple of records from this dynamic swing duo that became known as the Hudson DeLange Orchestra.
Thank you.
On Brunswick Records, we just heard Magnolia by the Hudson DeLange Orchestra, recorded in New York City, May the 27th, 1937. So as you heard, Hudson DeLange, well, they had what could be best described, I guess you would describe them as a gentle swing band, very nice sound, two talented band leaders and songwriters, and Will is an arranger. So with that combination, you would figure the band would have had greater longevity than the 4 years that they were in existence. Well, unfortunately, the partnership between Hudson and DeLange began to strain due to differences in personality and direction. So eventually, in early 1938, they dissolved the Hudson DeLange Orchestra. It was a big blow to fans, but both guys, Will Hudson and Eddie DeLange, after the split, remained successful, equally successful, as both songwriters and band leaders. Let me play one more from Will and Eddie. Via Brunswick Records, Midnight at the Onyx, written and arranged by Will Hudson, performed by the Hudson DeLange Orchestra, recorded in New York City, November the 23rd, 1936. So the title of the song I just played, Midnight at the Onyx, refers to Manhattan's famed a 1930s and 40s jazz spot, the Onyx Club, which was a former, speakeasy located in a few different areas of Manhattan, but finally settling on West 52nd Street. Now, I discussed on past programs the history of 52nd Street, where both sides of the street were packed with jazz clubs. The street was nicknamed Swing Street. As a matter of fact, come to think of it, if you were with us last week, I played a song by Dolly Dawn and her Dawn Patrol, which was an homage to 52nd Street. Now, I can only assume, but probably Will Hudson and Eddie DeLange, while working in New York, they recorded in New York and often played at the Terrace Room of the New Yorker Hotel, probably one night after a recording session or after a hotel gig, Will and Eddie might just have headed over to the Onyx Club to get something to eat and listen to some fine music, and that is why they paid homage to the Onyx Club with Midnight at the Onyx. Now, Larry Clinton, and I told this story on a previous show, wrote his very popular song Dipsy Doodle on an Onyx Club menu one night when he was at the club. The Onyx actually got its name due to its black onyx-colored bar. The club, as I mentioned, began as a speakeasy during Prohibition, but it went illegitimate in 1934 and became a jazz club. And unlike ballrooms, performances at the Onyx were more small group, intimate jazz oriented. And the club quickly became and remained a magnet for musicians hanging out in Midtown after bigger band gigs like Hudson DeLange and Larry Clinton did, frequent visitors to the Onyx Club. Why don't we take some time to listen to a few of the better-known small jazz performers who graced the Onyx Club with their music? Why don't we start? Let me pull up my Onyx playlist here. Why don't we start with one of my favorites, Stuff Smith.
What you do to me, it ain't right, so don't be untrue to me. It ain't right, so baby, farewell. Mama, I'm talking. It ain't love that you handed out to me. It ain't love, now don't start to shout to me. It ain't love, so baby, farewell. Oh, goodbye. Now I go on, but what's the use? You have killed my golden goose. From now on, I'm on the deuce. Come to the revolution for me. It ain't right. It ain't right, no, no. Mama, don't do that, you know it ain't right. Yes, boy, boy. Thank you.
We just heard It Ain't Right, one of a string of records that Stuff and his Onyx Club band recorded for Vocalion Records back in 1936. When the Onyx Club became a jazz venue after Prohibition, Stuff Smith became one of the featured headliners in his group. Stuff Smith and his Onyx Club Boys, that we just heard, served for a time as the official house band. I'm Jeff Bressler, and you're listening to the one, the only, the original Make Believe Ballroom, and I'm currently playing the 78 RPM records of some jazz greats of the 30s and 40s who were regulars on the stage at the Onyx Club on 52nd Street in Manhattan. Here now is a record from one of the greatest jazz pianists of all time, and he found his first regular work at the old Onyx Club. Art Tatum and his Swingsters, Body and Soul, recorded in Los Angeles back in 1937. Art Tatum, during his early Onyx Club appearances, believe it or not, Art, who, as I mentioned earlier, was to go on to be one of the greatest jazz pianists of all time, back then, was only sometimes brought in as an intermission pianist. And he'd play between the sets of the Spirits of Rhythm, one of the club's early headliner groups. And why were they a headliner group? Because they had a lot of talent. And you can hear this talent on the record I'm about to play. ¶¶
got rhythm, you've got rhythm, I've got my gal, who could ask for anything more? I've got daisies in green pastures, I've got my gal, who could ask for anything more? Old man trouble, I don't mind him, you won't find him round my door. I've got starlight, I've got sweet dreams, I've got my gal, who could ask for anything more? Who could ask for anything more?
On Parlophone Records, recorded in New York City, October the 24th, 1933, The Five Spirits of Rhythm with I Got Rhythm, and that was the first record ever recorded by The Five Spirits of Rhythm, and you heard Leo Watson as the lead vocalist and scat master on that one. I might not be a scat master or have great rhythm, but I am Jeff Bressler. And I have records to play due to the fact that I am the host of the Make Believe Ballroom, and that is what we do here each week, play the music of the legends of the big band era. And thanks for joining me today in the Crystal Studio, where I am playing, well, it's really turning into a little mini alumni reunion of sorts. I'm playing some wonderful small group jazz musicians who played frequently at the Onyx Club on 52nd Street in New York City. Now, how about a little trumpet?
Thank you.
On Decca Records, recorded in New York City on November the 11th, 1940. We just heard Hot Lips Page and his band with the song titled South. Now, Hot Lips Page made his mark on the Onyx Club in the 1940s. Hot Lips loved all the clubs on 52nd Street, and he loved them so much, and he hung out on the street so frequently that musicians said you could almost pick a night, any night, and hear Hot Lips somewhere on the block playing his trumpet. The Onyx Club was one of his favorite bandstands, and Hot Lips had said during an interview it was because of its reputation for showcasing, quote-unquote, both hot soloists and vocalists. We just heard the great Hot Lips Page. I have a bunch more on the playlist of Onyx Club alumni, but I'll play two more for you fine folks. I said that Hot Lips Page commented on how he liked the Onyx because of their hot soloists and vocalists. Now, one of the greatest vocalists of the era appeared at the club. I'm talking about Mildred Bailey. Mildred loved the Onyx, and the Onyx loved her. Having Mildred Bailey there gave the Onyx added prestige. She was one of the most popular female jazz singers of the 1930s alongside, well, I would put her alongside Billie Holiday and Ivy Anderson. Mildred sang at the Onyx often, usually with the John Kirby group in the, in the late 1930s. Let me choose one by Mildred for you. Yeah, I like this one.
Me that you love me true, and I believed in you. You broke your vow, now somehow seems I'm always blue. But there'll come a day when you're far away. You sit alone and cry, for me you sigh, and the days that have gone by, someday, sweetheart, you may be sorry for what you've done to my poor heart. You may regret the vows you've broken and the things you did that made us drift apart. You're happy now, can't see how the weary blue will ever come to you. But as you sow, so shall you reap, dear. And what you reap will make you weep someday, sweetheart. You did. drift apart. You're happy now and can't see how the weary blues will ever come to you. But as you sow, so shall you reap, dear. And what you reap made you weep someday, sweetheart.
Mildred Bailey on Vocalion Records from 1935 with Someday Sweetheart. I said I would play two more for you. We just played Mildred Bailey. So how about one from a frequent visitor to the Onyx Club? He wasn't a recurring presence like a Hot Lips Page, but he was another pianist, certainly on the same orbit and same level as Art Tatum. And he played at the Onyx Club whenever he had a chance. I'm talking about the great Teddy Wilson. From the Keystone Transcriptions, Teddy Wilson on the piano with his rendition of Sunday, recorded in 1939. Friends, it was my pleasure during this last segment to talk about and play some music from some of the great musicians who loved to play on 52nd Street in Manhattan, and more specifically at the Long Gone Onyx Club. I'm not long gone, at least I hope not, but either way, I'm Jeff Fressler, and you're listening to the Make Believe Ballroom, where I now want to talk about the evolution of a song, specifically a Glenn Miller song. Back in 1935, Glenn composed an instrumental piece that he called Miller's Tune. Now, I've talked on this program in the past about a gentleman named Joseph Schillinger. He was not everyone's cup of tea, that's for sure. He was a little strange in his musical thought process, to say the least. So in 1935, Miller was studying with Joseph, who, by way of introduction, was a Ukrainian-born quote-unquote music theorist who believed you could write music, strangely enough, with mathematics. Yes, mathematics, using geometry, permutations, charts, and graphics. I told you he was kind of weird. Now, most musicians, although some did become disciples of Schillinger, most musicians, though, thought it was too complicated or too strange to study with him. But Glenn Miller, he took it to heart. So Schillinger taught him how to spread harmonies out like a blueprint. And in the instance of the song that Miller had written, that blueprint had clarinets soaring on top, saxophones fanned out beneath, all in precise intervals. Well, that's the sound you hear in a number of Miller tunes. So for this composition that Miller wrote, Miller's tune, that some say was actually a homework assignment from Schillinger, you heard a clarinet lead floating over four saxophones, moving in a smooth parallel motion. So instead of a brassy shout, Miller, following the blueprint, got a dreamy halo of sound, which was scientific, calculated, but it did manufacture what would become an unforgettable melody. Miller was very happy with the results. So Glenn pitched his composition. The music he wrote was then used for a song titled Now I Lay Me Down to Weep, with the lyrics by Eddie Heyman and initially sung by Al Boley, Al Boley minus the Ray Noble Orchestra. The tune then had a few other iterations. It was adapted into a song called Gone with the Dawn, with lyrics by George Simon. Then it moved on to become called The Wind in the Trees, with lyrics by Mitchell Parrish. But in 1939, after writing the song in 35 and having it kicked around for a few years, the song finally found its final home with his, Glenn Miller's own orchestra. And what song was it?
Thank you.
Moonlight Serenade by Glenn Miller and his orchestra, recorded on Bluebird Records, April the 4th, 1939. A song that had a weird beginning that went on to become Glenn Miller's theme and one of the most iconic songs of the big band era. Now, when Bluebird released the record, it was on the B-side of a disc that featured this song as the premier A-side offering. Sunrise Serenade by Glenn Miller and his orchestra. This Frankie Carl written tune climbed to number 2 on the weekly Your Hit Parade charts, but Moonlight Serenade quickly outshone Sunrise Serenade in popularity and was reissued by Bluebird as the A-side, with Sunrise Serenade moving over to the B-side. And how, you may wonder, did Moonlight Serenade get its name after going through all those other iterations of names? Well, the powers that be at RCA Bluebird figured that the A-side was Sunrise Serenade, and it would only be natural to call the B-side Moonlight Serenade. So, folks, that's how Moonlight Serenade evolved into one of the defining songs of the swing era. Recorded in New York City on February the 4th, 1940, Jan Savitt and his Top Hatters, Blues in the Groove from Brunswick Records. You know, during the playing of Blues in the Groove and talking before about Glenn Miller, made me think of my old high school band teacher, band leader, Mr. Stein. He used to tell us this Glenn Miller story. Another one of those stories where I really don't know if it was true or not. I've heard different versions. But nevertheless, if we were having a bad rehearsal, like a sloppy rehearsal, missing notes and stuff, Stein would always say that Glenn Miller demanded absolute precision, miss a note, and it wasn't just embarrassing, it cost you money. He told us Miller fined musicians 25 cents. For every mistake. And I was always in fear Stein would fine us and I'd lose my pizza money. Always stopped with the guys for pizza after school. Certainly a traumatic band experience at the hands of Mr. Stein. Thank you.
sees the pretty apple on top of the tree. The higher up, the sweeter it grows. Picking fruit, got to be up on your toes. See the pretty penthouse top of the roof. The higher up, the higher rent goes. Get that dough, don't be a goof. Up on your toes, they climb the clouds to come through with their mail. The dancing clouds look up to some rare mail, like that Astaire mail. See the pretty lady, top of the crop. You wanna know the way the wind blows? Then my boy, you'd better hop. Up on your toes, up on your toes.
From Brunswick Records, Ruby Newman and his orchestra, On Your Toes, with the Buddy Clark vocal, recorded March the 11th, 1936, in New York City. And now, as I peer at the big bull of a clock here on the wall in the Crystal Studio, I realize we're totally out of time. Thanks for joining me today. Make Believe Ballroom is broadcast to our affiliates across the USA and in the United Kingdom by the Public Radio Exchange, PRX, the Pacifica Network, and Global Community Radio, as well as independently distributed to many stations directly from the offices of the Crystal Studio. To reach me, I'm Jeff at makebelieveballroomradio.com. That's Jeff at makebelieveballroomradio.com. And folks, once our shows clear our radio affiliates, they're placed in archive and podcast form. You could go to makebelieveballroom.com, makebelieveballroom.com, to hear over 200 past programs in this series. So friends, until next week, this has been Jeff Bressler.